Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
In the book of Matthew, I'd like you to turn there if you have your Bible. If you don't, there might be one in the seat ahead of you there. You can borrow that. And if you don't have a Bible, you can keep that. But we're going to be reading from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to talk a little bit about, we've been talking about greater faith and experiencing greater faith. And the whole concept and idea is to grow in the Lord and be strengthened in your faith and all those kinds of things that accompany the whole idea and concept of greater faith. We want our faith to grow. We want it to develop. We want it to be more effective. We want to feel like we're closer to the Lord. We want to feel like we're walking in His will. We want to feel like we're right where God wants us. I mean, anybody that knows Jesus Christ knows that's a good part of our heart. We want to be close to the Lord. And that's just a relative term that so that we can understand what we're talking about. Because the Lord is as close to you as He can get. He's in us. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He takes up residence right there spiritually in your spirit. And so you can't get any closer than that. But the term we use is to kind of describe, you know, I'm not feeling as spiritual. I'm not feeling as close or near to the Lord. And so I want to get closer. Everybody understands that. But it's important in this message to take note of that, because one of the things you need to realize as a Christian, once you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you say to Him, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me for my sins, come into my life, I accept You as my personal sacrifice at Calvary, I accept all that You've done for me, come into my life and make me a new creature, make me a new person. And He does that. Anyone who prays that prayer sincerely will be born again. The Bible clearly teaches us that. And so once a person does that, everything from that point on has spiritual significance. In fact, everything from that point on has something to do with your spirituality and your growth and your development of your faith, development of your understanding, development of everything. But it begins when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And of course, we, in our denomination, our church, we believe that there are other experiences to experience in the Lord, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so on, but we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about just that initial greater step, closer step, or whatever. And we've been talking about a lot of things that help us do that. I want to have greater faith. I want to have the kind of faith that when I walk by the sick, that my shadow casts upon them, they come up healthy, that kind of thing. You want to see miraculous things happen in your life. And frankly, most of us have miraculous things happening in our life every day because God's involved in our life, because everything in our life from the moment we receive Christ is a miracle. Think about it. I just described a moment ago, I'm no longer the person I used to be. I'm changed, I'm transformed. What you see is certainly not what I used to be before I received Jesus Christ. And so everything that God is doing in our life is continuous. He's continually doing things. The problem we have sometimes as Christian people is that we become so used to the routine we have as Christians, going to church, praying for one another, going to Bible studies, going to men's meeting, going to all these things, that a lot of times we just fall into some kind of routine and don't realize that God is doing things all the time. And He has a goal for you. He has a purpose that He wants to get you to and a reason He wants you to get there. And just to give you a little example here, and my daughter used to work at the bank here in town and met a lot of senior citizens, a lot of people, but the senior citizens just tended to gravitate to her for some reason. I don't know exactly what it all is, but they would have conversations with her all the time. And one of their ladies that one of those gals that would come in is a lady by the name of Faye. Well, she's been going through a lot of medical problems. She's 90 years old. And so she's over at Toppenish Rest Home over there. I don't know what the name of it is, but anyway, she's over there. And so my wife said, "Hey, my wife is kind of funny. Sometimes she just soon sit there and make a bologna sandwich, and that's enough for dinner. You know, Friday night, man, I'm going out to dinner somewhere. And so I say, hey, let's do something different. Let's go over to Dad's restaurant over there and have us a burger and fries and some. It's a little different, you know. My wife's used to going to the Waldorf Astoria, and you know, getting a big prime rib or something. That's my wife. She's got that kind of taste, you know. But anyway, I calmed her down and got her to go over there. Well, it's right over there where Faye's at. And so we thought, well, let's go see Faye at the same time. And so we're sitting there talking with her, and it's the first time I've met her. My wife has met her, and my daughter obviously knows her. But my wife has kind of taken up maybe it's a divine thing, a desire to get the gospel to this lady before she passes away. That's just frankly, I mean, she's 90. She's had a lot of medical issues and problems. And so, you know, when you're that close, it's a pretty good guess. There's not going to be a whole lot longer that you're going to stand before the Lord and give account of yourself somewhere. But my wife has just had this burden on her heart. So we went over there, and I enjoyed myself thoroughly talking with her and meeting her and stuff like that. But she's talking about how it was almost miraculous, and she made this one decision to have this surgery, and the surgery worked. And she said, and Jolene's trying to tell her, well, that's just because the Lord loved, you know, my wife, bless your heart, you know, my wife. She's just a wonderful woman. Technical difficulty is that we have 10,000 batteries. It's on? Yes. Off, on, off. It's on. Is it on? Okay. Now, where was I? Oh, goodness. When you have this kind of difficulty, it's because the guy behind the microphone's out of his mind. But anyway, we're talking with this gal, and she's just a sweet lady, and she's told us all this trouble, and she said, and Jolene told her, hey, the Lord loves you. And she said, well, I must be a bigger believer than I thought I was, because why else would I still be here? So that's one of the ultimate questions. Now it's hissing at me. How's that? Better? Okay. And so she's sharing with us, hey, there must be some purpose for me still being alive. And I'm thinking to myself, absolutely. There's a reason. God has a purpose. He wants to do something in her life, and he wants her to, of course, accept Jesus' personal sacrifice for her. And so it kind of illustrates what I want you to understand is, Christian or not, God is working on you. If you're not a Christian, he's working on you to become a Christian. If you are a Christian, he's working on you to become a better Christian, more Christ-like, more endeared to him, more of a position and a place spiritually where you can be of effect for him as he leads and guides your life. And so this portion of scripture, and it's already way late, so let me go as quickly as I can. In the 13th verse of the 16th chapter, listen to this story. I'll give you this story. It's pretty familiar if you've read your Bible at all. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter, of course, Simon Peter, he's the kind of guy that just pops his mouth off all the time. And so, of course, Simon Peter steps up and says, hey, the answer is this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And there's more to read there. You can read it for yourself. I want to stop right there because it illustrates what I'm talking about. This is a wonderful little encounter that Jesus has with the disciples. What he's wanting to have them do is come to a personal place where they make a final decision on who Jesus Christ is. He's been ministering for a while. They've seen a lot of miracles. They've seen a lot of things happen. And so Jesus is getting them to make the connection. Some of them have already made the connection, but in the reading of this, you'll discover that as they respond to the first question, when he comes over to them, who do men say that I am? They respond with some kind of an answer.
Some of them will say, you might be John the Baptist. Well, you know, that would be a resurrection kind of thing. But at any rate, you might be John the Baptist, or you might be one of the other prophets, Jeremiah, or so forth. Note that every example that they give as to who Christ would be is a human being. And what Jesus Christ said is, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's making a connection with humanity. That's the human side of Jesus Christ. And so he's identifying this, and watch how brilliant he is when he does this. And so he asks them, who do men say that I am? And so they give him these human answers. You obviously, in the mix is the idea that you have to be a special person. You have to be one of these great prophets because you're doing miracles, and only men that are anointed and touched by God do miracles. That's their thinking at this moment. And maybe pretty basically true because it's still kind of in the Old Testament times. And so what's interesting about this is that they give human answers, but they have a spiritual element to them. We're talking about spiritual guys. We're talking about prophets where God spoke to them and they spoke for God, or they called fire out of heaven and lapped up some water, or whatever the situation might be for that particular prophet. They're still adding to the idea that these are human beings, but that there's a spiritual element here that's unexplainable. They know that God is involved. They don't know how he's involved, but they know that God has used these prophets in the past. And so they're identifying Jesus with that, as men have said. My opinion is that this is the opinion of some of his disciples. I think that as they recall this, they're using some of their thinking. This is part of what they have thought about, their rationale, their formulation of who this guy is. Because there's a process you go through in believing something. When somebody tells you something, you automatically, whether you realize it or not, you go through a process. You look for the truth in it, then you begin to formulate that in your mind, and eventually you come up with a conclusion. And that's the process Jesus is actually manipulating to bring his disciples to a place of personal encounter, personal decision. I've got to come to a place where I make a personal decision for or against Jesus Christ. Well, these men have been following him for a while. They've seen all the evidence that the divine hand of God is upon him. They've got to come to the place where they've got to realize that he's more than just a prophet, and he's more than a great teacher, but that this is God in the flesh. And everyone has to come to that conclusion. You cannot become a born-again Christian. You cannot give your heart to Jesus Christ without acknowledging that Jesus is God. That's the only way to receive it. And that's why some people have difficulty. There's a lot of religions that teach all the good things that Jesus taught, but they don't accept him as God. They accept him as a great teacher, a great human, motivator of people, and was able to sway a lot of people to his way of thinking and so forth. Great motivational speaker, maybe lived in a van down by the river. I don't know, but at any rate, there was a recognition that he was extra special in a lot of ways, but it wasn't until Peter pops his mouth off that they begin to get what Jesus was really trying to get them to. And that's the place where they recognize and understand that this is not just the Son of Man. He was not just born like men are born, but that he is the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the sent one. God sent you. And when you make recognition that you are the Christ, you are talking about the divinity of Christ, the divine person living in flesh. That's an impossibility anyway, but that's why we know that he's God, because he did the impossible. And so when we put this in the context of greater faith, how does this make me have greater faith? It's the same way Peter came to the conclusion and was able to articulate that. And then in the response that Jesus had to him, there's great blessing and great encouragement for us. And we'll get to that as quickly as I can. But what he's talking about is you need to be an identifier. You need to be somebody who is able to recognize the hand of God moving in your life before you're ever going to know that God is moving in your life. And that you cannot know that God is moving in your life unless God shows you that he's moving in your life. That's what Peter's conclusion came to. There's something special about Jesus here. But I think he's more than just a teacher or a human being, the Son of Man. I believe that he is the Son of God, therefore making him have divine nature. And when that revelation came, Jesus gives the response. You've read it. You've read it probably 100 times. But he gives the response. Hey, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I was Peter, knowing Peter as I know him in the scripture, that is an awesome thing to say to Peter, because most of the time he was wrong. Most of the time he was whacking guys' ears off. He was doing something, saying something stupid. He was doing all kinds of things that were not what Christ wanted him to do. He even went so far as to later deny Christ. You follow what I'm saying? And so here's a guy that's so impetuous. He's the kind of guy that is excited about getting started with this thing, but he can't see it through. Amen? And so this guy, the least likely one, oh, he's a leader type. He's got some charismatic features and characteristics, but he's not the guy that you expect to step up and be this brilliant orator of great thought. But all of a sudden he says the right thing at the right time to the right person, and God, Jesus Christ, commends him for that. Blessed you are. You're blessed. Why was he blessed? Because he identified correctly who Jesus Christ was. So we need to be identifiers. We need to look for the hand of God. Those of you that are Christians, you need to look for the hand of God and how it's moving in your life. When you have thoughts to do good things, that's God. That's the hand of God. When you actually go out and do good things for other people and for your family and for whatever, that's the hand of God. When you're reading a Bible and all of a sudden scripture begins to become, hey, I understand this. You know what the major complaint about the Bible is? I don't understand what I'm reading. I read it 5 times and I still don't understand what I'm... Raise your hand if that's ever crossed. Go ahead, fess up. Okay, just about all of us have experienced that to some degree or another. And the reason is the same reason that Peter's saying, or Jesus is telling to Peter. You don't understand that scripture until the Lord opens it up to you, reveals it to you. See, even reading the Bible requires God's involvement for you to understand and receive it. And so one of the first things that we need to become as Christians, if we want to increase our faith, is we need to be identifiers. We need to be able to see the hand of God, understand how God is moving in our lives. Some of it is going to be an ongoing revelation. He's going to show you more and more and more about your life and where he wants to take you as you live out your life. But initially, and anytime you need input into your life or investment into your life spiritually, you're going to have moments like this when you're reading the Bible and suddenly this is like I never understood it this way before. And suddenly the scripture just comes alive. Suddenly you find you've started reading the Bible and you've read it for 3 hours and didn't realize it just went by that fast. Let me tell you what. If you've read the Bible for 3 hours, I guarantee you God is in it. I guarantee you God has anointed you, because my guess is most of us don't read the Bible at a single sitting for more than half an hour, maybe an hour at the most. And that's only because you've got to preach tonight. So you need to identify. How do you recognize these things? There has to be some attributes about these things that are happening in our lives that identifies God being involved in it. That's part of what we're talking about. How do you increase your faith? How do you begin to take a step closer to being having an increase in your faith? You've got to begin to look at your life in a different way. You've got to begin to look at your life the way God looks at your life. God does not see you as some person who is inept and unable to do anything. You know, that kind of thing went on a long time ago. Remember when Moses was talking to God and God wanted him to go set the children of Israel free? Anybody remember that story? Remember that? What did Moses do? He made every excuse in the book that he couldn't accomplish the job that God was calling him to do. So God answered every excuse with the help of the Lord. Gives his brother Aaron to speak for him. I can't talk before kings. So he gives him Aaron to do the talking. You follow what I'm saying? So you need to understand that's how God's going to work in your life. He's going to work in a way so that you will understand he's involved here. All too often we recognize after the fact that God has been involved. Oftentimes knocking God's purposes off track. Am I making any sense here this morning? I know. Is that meat I'm starting to smell? And so God, I think, is encouraging us in the process. Because I want you to understand something. Once you begin to recognize God is moving in your life and that there's a spiritual element to what's happening, that takes a revelation, really does. Otherwise, you would just think a coincidence on your job. But no, God gives you a raise on the job. You think, that's just coincidence the way things work around here. I'm doing a good job. He's going to pay me more for it. That's not always it. Sometimes God does involved in that. Sometimes God, and if you attribute that to God, God will begin to show you how he did it. So we need to recognize, we begin to have a solid formulation in our mind. We need to examine and we need to seek the truth and all those kinds of things that we need to do about any issue in our life. We understand that. But here's the key, I think, that begins the step toward greater faith, and that is how we respond. When we're facing an issue or asked a question like Jesus asked the disciples there, when we're facing an issue that I have to make decisions about or I'm going through something in my personal life that's a hard struggle, all of these things are all in the same basket, trust me. It's how we respond after doing all of the rationale, all of the thinking, all of the formulation in our mind. It's how we respond that makes a difference. Because I want you to understand something. Nothing in our life is ever confirmed by God unless faith is extended. You must have faith in order to move the hand of God or reveal the hand of God. Am I making any sense? And so in order to increase my faith in this way, I have to learn not only recognize and begin to rationale as God would have me formulate these things, but my response tells us what's been formulated, what's been going on in my mind. So if I've seen the hand of God working in my mind and I begin to tell, just like some of you did right here this morning. And Chad, you'd be in a good example. You come over, shared with me that it didn't work, and that he's going to have to go through another operation. Kevin prays for him, and he can lift his arm higher than he has for a long time. Okay, faith had to be the confirming factor. The miracle doesn't happen unless faith has been extended. God does not move unless he has your permission. Now, I know that sounds a little sacrilegious, but it's not. Because this is a willful choice you make to trust God and believe God. And you give him permission to work in your life. It isn't that you're taking over his power or authority or raising yourself above God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, God, please do it. If I don't ask God to do it, he's not going to do it. Hello? It really isn't all that difficult. But in the process, we learn how to respond. When something's happening in my life, but man, I'm trusting God for this. I'm trusting God to get me through this problem. By faith, I see this as the result of what I'm going through. My wife, and I shared this already, but I'm going to share it again because it fits here perfect. My wife was praying for our son at a time when he wasn't serving the Lord. And this is how she would pray. Awesome prayer. By faith, I see my son a godly man. My son is now a godly man. You follow what I'm saying? And so, by the way, she prays for you and your loved ones and everyone else you ask us to pray for. That's how we pray. By faith, I see this person as a godly person, a follower of Christ, a devotee to Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's how you respond that gains the response of God and also the revelation of God. Sometimes God's working and you begin to see that. And you begin, praise God, Lord, look what you're doing. This got to become for, this has to be done by God. God's doing this. And once you say and you proclaim that, you respond that this is God, and you tell somebody else this is God, you have proclaimed that God is working and moving. Guess what? You've not only seen it, but God is going to do what Jesus Christ told Peter. Blessed are you because you have learned to respond properly to how God is working in your life. You're not only a person who is able to identify and see and know, but you're now become the recipient of what you know. Because I know God is doing this, I'm going to be blessed. Many of your blessings are contingent on that very response. Hello? Are you learning or are you just daydreaming? See, with that, I would have jumped up and ran. You know, that's one of those runners there. But doesn't that make a lot of sense, though? Isn't that exactly what Peter is coming? He's coming to greater faith. He's coming to the place where this is the Messiah that all the prophets were. He's not a prophet. He's the one that all the prophets were talking about. He came to that understanding. So Peter identifies Jesus Christ correctly, and it stimulated his faith. It stimulated his faith. It wasn't an act of miracle, an action thing. It was to coming to an understanding. I've come to the understanding that this is not just a prophet. This is greater than the prophets. I think that's pretty awesome for you and I in order to develop our faith. Because we may not be walking on the sea or by the sea in Capernaum with Jesus Christ as he teaches and he feeds 5,000 and he does all these wondrous miracles and stuff like that. We're not doing that. But we are walking amongst each other here. We come to the house of God together and we gather for prayer and we're seeing the same results. We're seeing miracles happen. And it's not just miracles of healing. It's miracles of working out situations, job situations and relationship situations and my addiction situations. And God's working out all these details in order to bring us to the place where we understand this Jesus is the Messiah and he's been sent to me and I receive him by faith. And by faith, I see myself following Jesus Christ. And guess what happens? Blessed are you because you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. Blessed are you because you see him as he is. He is God. And I find that so stimulating, it just blows my mind. It causes me to want to believe more. And that's probably the first step to making a closer walk or a greater faith in Jesus Christ. And the cool thing about Jesus' response to him is, hey, you gave the right answer. That's good. I think that was just awesome for Peter because to get a right answer is like going to the head of the class. You know what I'm saying? So you gave the right answer, and yet that was not totally your work. That was the work of God. And guess what? Now you're beginning to realize that the Father is at work in you, showing you things about himself. You want to know about God? You want to know about your future? You want to know about your success? You want to know about what God can do in your life and what you can do for Christ and what you can do in life that will better your life and other people's lives? Then you need to come to an understanding of who God is in your life and what he intends in your life. And he will reveal that, and that will produce greater faith, because as you have these things revealed to you about Christ or about your situation or about what you need in your life or whatever it might be, what issues you may be dealing with, you will be blessed because Jesus Christ will declare that. He blessed Peter on something Peter didn't even do. It was God that revealed it. Are you with me? Peter just let his mind get in action, and God showed him something. He declared it, and God blessed him for it. That's how God works. We don't work to receive blessings from God. We, by faith, trust God, and he blesses us. And our faith is greater. And each time he blesses us, we can believe him for something else in our life. How many times have you come to the recognition that every time you're blessed, it's because you've been blessed before? Hello? You trust God more because you were in a situation where you needed to trust him and he came through for you. You were blessed because you knew God. You came to the understanding of who he is. I know sometimes a daily thing, but how awesome is that? That we not only can know him, but be blessed because he showed us himself, but even be blessed more because we, by faith, came to that conclusion. Yeah, give God a hand. I don't know why God does it. He does all the work, and then he gives me the blessing. I get rewarded and have greater faith because he has done a work in me. That is awesome. So how do we take that? I mean, how do we really come to that conclusion? How does that really work for us? Well, stop and think about this. Where are you in your faith? Where are you? Are you a person that is, I'm not quite sure God really does those kinds of things. And I'm not really sure he's interested in whether I'm a good ball player or I can golf good. And I know God's not interested in that because I know what my score was. But there are things in life that are far more serious than a game, unless you're going into the game for a profession or something. But my point is, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, Whatever is a problem or an issue for you today, think about that for a moment. How, in the past few days, has God made you aware of that, made you aware that he's concerned about that, made you aware that he has the power to help you with that? And don't tell me he hasn't done that, because that's exactly how he works. He tells you in advance what you need and tells you in advance how you're going to be blessed if you just trust him. Amen? As Heros' example was, that guy walked out of that shop where he was working on top of the world. He don't have a cent coming in to pay his bills or anything. Yet he walked out of there in victory. And guess what I can predict is going to happen? God is either going to provide money some other way, or some other miraculous thing is going to happen to him so that he can maybe work or whatever the deal is. Something is going to happen because he trusted what Heros told him. He thought about it in relationship to what he already had experienced. He became a Christian. So he believed Christ. Now he needs to have the faith to believe about finances and about groceries and the needs of his family. He walked out of there believing God is going to do something for him. Am I making any sense at all for you? So where are you? What are you going through? What's the issue that you're focused on? What's bugging you right now? What's preventing you from being the kind of Christian you want to be, but don't think you are? By the way, that's a whole nother sermon. I could preach something else on that. But most of the time, that's the way we think. I'm just not close to the Lord. He don't hear me when I pray, and my relationship is just waning. And most of the time, it's not even that at all. But wherever you're at, whatever your situation is, begin from that point to look where God might be working. What good is there in this bad situation? Trust me. God works in two ways. He lets you go through bad things to teach you a divine lesson. Now, that's not always the kind of lesson like, you know, Johnny keeps stealing cookies out of the cookie jar and you whip his hiney till he can't sit down, but he still keeps stealing cookies. It's not that kind of issue. You follow what I'm saying? It's not like, hey, you know, God has got to discipline us and that kind of thing. No, the lessons that he's trying to teach us are lessons that build our character and do good things in us. Follow me? It's not disciplinary lessons. It's lessons to teach you how spiritual things work. How your problem has spiritual consequences, and it can be positive or negative. That's what he'll let you go through hard times to teach us something about hard times. How good are good times after you've been through the hard time? Hello? And so he works that way. He takes the bad things happening in your life, and that may be where you're at. Maybe you're in a bad place. He'll use that to teach you something about how he loves you, how he wants to provide for you, how he wants you to trust him, how he wants you to know him. And when the lesson's over, not only will he teach you those lessons, but he will also solve the problem. The other way he works is to bless you and encourage you and strengthen you and inspire you so that you will rise to the occasion and be inspired enough to live closer to him or whatever it might be. So he works in those two ways to develop our faith and give us stronger faith and greater faith. So every issue that's happening in our life is actually working to give us greater faith. But how many of us understand that? How many of us complain about the bad thing that's happened to us? Oh, God, why is this? Oh, the devil's been all over. God, why did you allow this to happen? He allowed this to happen to straighten your act up. Amen? Praise the Lord. So examine what's happening. Look for how God may be working to teach you that lesson. And then respond in the correct way. Lord, if this is of you, is this you? And if it is of you, God, teach me the lesson that I need to learn. Show me what you want me to know. I know I'm dense sometimes. Get through my denseness and teach me what you want me to know. You'll begin to find out that you'll be like Peter. Blessed are you, because you gave yourself to the situation and God is going to teach you a good lesson. That's how life really works, folks. I don't know if you know that or not. That's how life really works. Because how many of you have been through some hard times? Yeah, 100%. Don't fake it. Don't fake it like you're going cool. Come on. Just everybody raise your hand and be on. And I don't care how old you are. Don't matter. Everybody's gone through some hard times. Well, as a Christian, those are developmental times. Those are times where we learn, hard times that we learn, not only to appreciate God can deliver us, but to appreciate the good times when they come. Amen? So I want to conclude because I'm hungry. I look at what Jesus' response to Peter. I look at that as a revelation. I look at that as Jesus talking to me. You need to put yourself right where Peter's at. You're Christians. You already seen the revelation. What I consider a revelation out of this is this. That God is working in my life continuously. I'm just not always conscious or aware. And my greater faith comes when that is revealed to me. When God reveals that to me. And in the process, I will discover that not only is he able, not only is he willing, but that he's motivated by my benefit, to benefit me, to bless me, to make me a better person, to provide for me what I need in my life to be what he wants me to be. I assure you this morning that God knows right where you're at. And so I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want you to respond in prayer with me. I want you to pray a prayer with me. And maybe I should ask God to bless the food at the end there too, eh? So you can, so that whoever's the first one there can just go ahead. It's important that we understand that God is a very progressive God. He wants you to progress. There are times he takes you to a plateau and he leaves you there for a while that you might assimilate the lessons that you need to learn on that plateau. But he's still progressive. He has a goal. He has a place he's taking us to. Every one of us. And it is a decision that we make. We come to a place where we say, who is this God? Who is this Jesus? And when we make the right decision, we're blessed forevermore, even in hard times. But if we've never made that decision, we probably don't even know what I'm talking about. And so I just want to pray this morning that every single one of us here this morning has a revelation. That before you walk out of this church, I'm believing, by faith I believe, that God is going to talk to you today. In fact, I believe he's already talked to some of you, spoken to you, and I'm sure he's told you how much he loves you and how much he's concerned about you and cares for you. But if you haven't heard that voice, if you haven't sensed that, I want you to receive that before you leave the sanctuary this morning. And so I'm going to believe with you. I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray with me. If you don't know Christ, perfect opportunity to ask him to come into your life. If you do know Christ and you're struggling, perfect opportunity to ask Christ to strengthen you. Show himself to you in the situation you're in. Show you that he is on the job with you. You never go through anything alone with Christ. And so if you're a struggling Christian, I want you to walk out of here with victory. That's my buddy right there. See, he's recognized me. He wanted to come up here and talk to me. So I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. And the only, if you don't know how to pray, just talk to God like you talk to me. So Father, I just pray this morning. I don't know everybody's condition. I know so many people in our church, and I know where they are spiritually. But Father, there may be some here this morning. I don't know. But I want them to somehow have that revelation this morning. Somehow begin to see Jesus Christ and how he's been working in their lives. The time that I'm tempted to do something wrong, and that voice in my mind that says, no, this is bad. This is not going to turn out well. That's God. That's you, Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. And so I'm praying this morning that if we don't know Christ, that we would receive him right now by asking you to forgive us of our sins. We all know we're sinners. Forgive us of our sins and come into our lives and make us new people. And Father, if we already know you and we're struggling this morning, I'm just praying that you would reveal yourself this morning to them, and that you are with them, and that you do love them, that you care about them, that every Christian that walks on the planet, you walk with them. And I'm just praying for a rich blessing on their lives today. In fact, I just pray that your Holy Spirit descend upon all of us, that when we walk from this auditorium into the fellowship hall to fellowship together and break bread together, that you would bless the bread and you would bless the fellowship, that we might hang out together in Christ and know you in a deeper, more personal, glorious way. And I pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. I think we ought to applaud him this morning, don't you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I think it's time for us to, those of you that can stay, that'd be wonderful to come and fellowship with us. And if you can outrun me, let's head for the fellowship hall, eh? God bless you this morning.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.